All right, Alexandra, let's do a video on Trump's first interview, actually. I think it's his first mainstream media interview, full-length interview with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo, Sunday Morning Futures. It's interesting that Sidney Powell and pretty much all of the Trump legal team, and now the president himself, they have chosen, as far as mainstream media is concerned, they've chosen Lou Dobbs every now and then, but they've definitely opted for Maria Bartiromo to do all their communications with. And I think that's interesting in and of itself. Maria Bartiromo actually is one of the Fox newscasters that has also dropped Twitter and has moved completely to Parler. I mean, it reminds me of the Russiagate days when Tucker Hannity and Laura Ingraham were all in to support and help President Trump to fight the Russiagate hoax, and they made a difference. In this case, it seems that everyone else in mainstream media has bailed on the Trump legal team, except for Maria Bartiromo and Lou Dobbs. Maybe some other people that I'm missing, Jesse Waters or some other people, but definitely Maria Bartiromo has taken a lot of the communications with between the Trump legal team and, of course, the people watching Fox News and the mainstream media. She's taken it on her shoulders. Anyway, it's a good interview. It was a long interview. It was a phone interview, and President Trump said a lot of things, but of course, the media is misrepresenting what he said, and we should clear it up.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the regular things now with Donald Trump. In fact, it's been not now, it's been throughout the entire story of Donald Trump ever since he became a candidate, that you read what the media say he said, and then you go and listen to what he actually did say, and you found that they are completely different. So let's deal with one thing which he did not say. He did not say, and this is something that I was reading all over the British media, that the FBI and the Justice Department were directly implicated in the fraud, the election fraud that he is claiming. They didn't say that. What he did say, and he was extremely critical of them, is the fact that they are not investigating it. And in fact, he was very critical of the Justice Department altogether, and by implication, by the way, of Attorney General Barr. And he, I think, absolutely justifiably spoke at great length about Russiagate and about the complete failure to actually put together any kind of prosecutions. And there'd be no prosecutions, obviously, in the run-up to the election, which, you know, we expected there would be. Apart from that, one minor prosecution of Klein Smith, who had been previously, or, you know, the FBI lawyer who changed the CIA email in order to get the FISA warrant against Carter Page. But even that prosecution was very tame and watered down. And there'd be none others, and there's no sign of any others. And what Donald Trump said is that they were missing in action. He said they weren't involved in even monitoring what was going on during the election, and they've shown no interest and no energy investigating all the allegations, all the concerns about electoral fraud, which have arisen since the election, and which, as he pointed out, there is now considerable body of evidence for. I mean, you know, you may not agree, you may not place much value on that evidence. You may look at those affidavits, and there are apparently now thousands of them, and you might go through them all, and you might say, well, you know, there isn't a case here. But it seems that the FBI hasn't even done that. They haven't actually followed up and spoken to or questioned any of the people who provided these affidavits. They have done nothing. They tell him all the time, yes, we are looking into this, but they're not actually doing anything. So that was the one thing he said. He didn't actually say that they were actively involved in carrying out the fraud. What he did say is that they've looked the other way, both whilst the fraud was allegedly carried out, and they have declined in any real way to investigate it. So that was one thing he said. Now, the other thing, which is, I think, much more important, and which has again been, I think, completely misrepresented, actually, was his discussion about the cases that are currently underway. And he made a number of, I think, very important points. Firstly, he was highly critical of the enormous pressure that lawyers who have been trying to represent him and his campaign have come under. I share that concern. I have spoken about it. So have you spoken about it. That Gibran has made his views on that very well known. And that is a matter of serious concern, and it should concern everybody. The second thing he has said is that he feels that the judges themselves have been extremely nervous of looking at the evidence that his legal team are coming forward with. They are his legal team are repeatedly coming forward and are saying that they've got piles of evidence, and then the judges refuse the lawsuits on technical grounds, saying that, you know, the claims are not really supported by evidence. Yet they're doing that whilst refusing to look at the actual evidence, which the legal team says is there. So it's a kind of roundabout thing. But Trump essentially is saying that the judges are doing that because they are extremely frightened of becoming involved. He may be right about that. He may be wrong about that. But again, it's different from what the media is reporting. And then thirdly, he talked about the United States Supreme Court. And he said quite correctly, it's actually difficult to get cases to the Supreme Court of the United States, which it is and should be. But he didn't say that he doesn't expect his case to go there. On the contrary, I got the strong impression that he most emphatically does expect his case to go there. And he made the point, and made the point very strongly, that not only has there been very extensive fraud in his opinion, but that this argument that he doesn't have standing to bring a case makes no sense, because he's Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, and one of the two big candidates in this election. So, of course, he has standing. And I predict that the Supreme Court of the United States will agree. So I think that is what he thinks, and I think that is what is going to happen. Now, in the interview, he discussed at very great length the various allegations of fraud that have been made. He spoke at length about the Dominion machines. He spoke at length about the fact that the Dominion machines are not used in Canada, where the company that produces them is based in Canada. He pointed out that in Texas, they are not used there. He's clearly unhappy with Governor Kemp of Georgia, who he feels has let him down and let the Trump campaign and the American people and the people of Georgia down by not supervising the election properly and not pursuing these allegations energetically enough. But overall and by and large, his primary concern, and you know, the primary concern of his legal team, is this massive flood of mail-in ballots and this large dump of ballots, which he said happened on election night. He spoke about how people came and called him at around 10 p.m. on election night and congratulated him and told him he won. And then how, you know, there was this long period of silence, and then suddenly these dumps started to appear, and the whole trend of the election seemed to go the other way. And he spoke about how concerned he was, and about the fact that he'd already received warnings that, you know, about 5% of the vote might be distorted or affected by fraud, and how this was already, you know, he was already concerned about this during the election. And you know, he talked at length about these things, but the overriding impression I got is that he still has confidence, despite all the obstacles, that when his case goes to the Supreme Court, and he expects the case to go to the Supreme Court, he still expects, in my opinion, to prevail there. And he does not think that the FBI and the DOJ were actively complicit in the election fraud. But he is deeply frustrated that at every level of the US government, the FBI, the DOJ, the various state governments, the state judges, you know, the district judges, that they are simply unwilling to look at these things or to do the kind of things that he, as president of the United States, wants them to do, and which, in the case of the FBI and the DOJ, it is within his power to order them to do, and which he has tried to order them to do, but which they have simply not responded to. So he is, if you like, somebody who is extremely frustrated about how he pulls the levers of the federal bureaucracy and nothing happens. So that was my overall take of the interview. Very different from what the media is saying. Certainly not a rant, as I was reading in the British media. In some ways, I thought a confident interview, an interview in which he set out, you know, his knowledge of his cases. And also, as I said, lots of misrepresentations of things he actually said.
Yeah, it was a good interview. I think I think everyone's sick of the mainstream media and their lies. I'm just sick and tired of them. All they do is say lies. Anyone that watches the mainstream media is an absolute chump. That's all I have to say there. He mentioned, actually, let me read a quote. Let me read a quote, and then I'll get into a couple of things that he also said. Two quotes from Citizen Free Press. I'm going to use, this is from President Trump, I'm going to use 125%. Of my energy to do it. You need a judge that's willing to hear a case. You need a Supreme Court that's willing to make a real big decision based on everything, end quote. And another quote, he said, it's not like you're going to change my mind. In other words, my mind will not change in 6 months. There was tremendous cheating here. Boxes were brought in. The mail-in vote is a disaster. By the way, if Republicans allow it to happen, you'll never have another Republican elected in the history of this country at a Senate level or at a presidential level. You'll never, at the House level, mail-in voting is a total disaster. I think this indicates, number one, that Trump will not concede no matter what happens, even if Biden does manage to cheat his way into the White House and get those electoral votes. He will not, but Trump will not concede. He considers this a cheat, and it was a cheat. The most simple argument, which I think is the most dead-on argument that he also said during the interview over and over again, which is the simplest argument, is there's no way Biden would have gotten 80 million votes, 20 million more than Obama, 10 million, 12 million plus more than Hillary Clinton. Anybody that actually believes Biden got 80 million votes is an absolute freaking idiot, period. Whoever believes that Biden got 80 million votes shouldn't be allowed to vote in the next election, because you're just freaking stupid if you actually believe that Joe Biden, a man that never left his basement, actually got 80 million votes for the office of the President of the United States. It's absolutely absurd. Trump hit home on that very simple argument, but it's simple and effective. And finally, Alexander, I was thinking about another thing. He mentioned that Kemp failed him. The Republicans have stabbed him in the back. Many of the Republicans have abandoned him. I believe that the fact that the mail-in ballots weren't investigated and scrutinized before the election was actually done on purpose, or in a kind of way, by the Republicans to say, you know what? It's okay if we don't examine this too much in depth, because it's okay if Biden wins, because we're all part of the same swamp, so no problem. I believe there was a lot of Republicans that were very lax about scrutinizing the mail-in ballots, and because they really didn't care if Trump won, or actually they may have even preferred a Biden win, because it keeps the swamp going, and we see that from Biden's pick, that the swamp now, his picks for the cabinet, that the swamp is very well alive. And a final note is, when he said about Kemp turning his back on him, he's absolutely right. And Republicans should know one thing. If they fight for Trump so that he can get into the Oval Office, then the cheating and the stealing that they're going to do in Georgia, in other words, these two seats, which they are already preparing to steal, they are preparing to steal these two seats, don't mean a thing, because you would have Pence as a tie-breaking vote. Even if the Democrats pull off another cheat and steal in Georgia, you would get to 50-50, but it wouldn't matter because you would have Pence there. So it would nullify any of the cheat that's about to take place in Georgia. So the Republicans better wise up and better start fighting for Trump.
Oh, well, I agree with that. Now, can I just make one quick point about the Republicans? And I've been saying this for some time. The Republican Party establishment does not like Donald Trump, and they are happy with this election. This is, for them, the optimal outcome. They have got rid of Donald Trump. They've increased their hold in the Senate, in the House. They are hoping to hold on to the Senate. and they've got more House legislatures. They've got, sorry, more state legislatures, more houses of representatives, and more governors have gone their way. So from their point of view, they say we're perfectly happy with this. And if you read establishment Republican sites like National Review, the Washington Examiner, and all this, you see this coming out very plainly and very openly, both their dislike of Donald Trump and their wish that he would go away and shut up and let them basically return things to normal. And I think Donald Trump's concerns about the risks from mail-in ballot for the Republican Party are absolutely valid, but it is remarkable that they are going completely unheeded. I have never read a single article in the Washington Examiner or the National Review that acknowledges that mail-in balloting on this scale and in the way it's been conducted poses risks for the Republican Party in the long term. They just don't want to even look at that thing. They have far more in common with Joe Biden than they ever did with Donald Trump. And that's the real problem. That's the problem he has always had throughout his presidency. They didn't properly back him over Russiagate. And he talks a lot about Russiagate in this interview and his deep anger about it. And they're not really backing him now. Even during the election, many of them pulled their punches. So he came out, he fought for them. They've never really fought for him. And they're very happy with Biden back. They very much want business as usual. And I read an article, I think it was in National Review, saying that Joe Biden's, this is a Republican, pro-Republican, a conservative outlet, establishment Republican outlet, saying that Joe Biden's cabinet picks are fine. So there you go. That's what the Republican Party thinks. Now, in terms of mail-in ballots, well, I've made my feelings about mail-in ballots very clear. I think this whole thing was brought in the most terrible way this year, in this election. And I think that if we are looking at all kinds of problems in the election now, it is the direct product of that. So that's where we are. And I think Trump will never concede. You're absolutely right about that. He's completely ruled that out. He's made it very clear that, you know, if the Electoral College votes for Joe Biden and Joe Biden is inaugurated as president, he will never accept that was a valid outcome. He will always continue to insist that the election was stolen from him, and he will campaign to prove it. And his agenda, if he can't get this through the Supreme Court in time, will be to continue to fight this and to argue this point and to try to prove that this election was stolen from him, as he sincerely believes. Of that, I have no doubt, by the way, that he sincerely believes that, and that he will fight and go on fighting until the fact is finally accepted and finally proved beyond any reasonable doubt. Now, I would add just a few things. I think almost certainly he is planning another run for 2024 if Joe Biden is inaugurated. So I don't think I don't personally have any doubt about that. And I don't think we're going to see the end of Donald Trump at all. I think if the Republicans think that he's going away, he has no intention of doing so. And last but not least, his point about, is it really plausible that Joe Biden got 80 million votes, is one I have to agree with, because I made it myself some days ago, I think before Donald Trump, in one of our broadcasts.
It's the simplest argument. It's okay, could he have gotten 80 million? Sure, but no, didn't happen. Not Joe Biden.
In fact, Donald Trump on that made a number of actually very interesting points. He said that his election people told him that if he won 68 million votes, he would win the election. He actually won more than 74 million votes. And people are now saying to him that he lost the election, despite having increased his vote as compared to 2016 by this huge margin. And he referred to an article in the Federalist, which, by the way, I've read, in which they say the five things that, you know, would normally happen in an election and which would point to the person who, you know, to who would win that election, a presidential election. And he pointed out that, in fact, he ticked all those five things that one would expect in an election, according to this article in The Federalist, to point to the incumbent president winning. He not only achieved, he exceeded. And yet, according to the results, and, you know, we mustn't call them official results because they're not yet official. According to the results that the media says are true, despite ticking all those boxes, he supposedly lost the election. And he says, is that plausible? Is that realistically true? I have to say again, it's the simplest argument, as you rightly said, both, you know, Biden winning 80 million votes and all of these, you know, points that the Federalist article made. And again, they make one wonder. I mean, I say something very straightforwardly. If this election had taken place in any other country, in, let's say, you know, India or whatever, people would be saying, the media in the United States would be saying that this election was rigged. And we must never forget, it's another point, by the way, that Trump made, that the way in which this election was conducted was unfair anyway. We remember that business, the debate with Wallace and how what a mess that was, and how Wallace was siding with Biden all the time. We remember the town hall meetings, which were exactly the same, with the moderator, the moderator with Trump being incredibly hostile to Trump, the moderator with Biden being incredibly helpful to Biden. We remember how Twitter and the other social media companies acted to keep to silence stories that were negative to Biden, including about members of his family. And all of this was going on during the election, and any election conducted in this way was already, before a single vote was cast, unfair.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit that notifications bell. Check us out on BitChute, on Odyssey, and on Rumble. We are on Rumble. So please subscribe to our channels on those three platforms. You'll find the link in the description box underneath this video. And also please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, and also Bitcoin as well. You'll find all of those links as well underneath this video. And of course, the Durant Shop. Pick up some merch. I've got a Durant t-shirt. Alexander's got a Durant sweatshirt, and you'll find all kinds of great merchandise at the Durant Shop. You'll find the link to the shop in the description box down below as well.
Indeed. And remember, get yourself a Durant Magic mug. This one has the flag of the United States. This one has a picture by the great Greek designer and artist Dimitris Economou, exclusive to the Durant. They are the best mugs in the world, coffee and tea mugs, or hot chocolate mugs, or beer mugs, or champagne mugs, whatever you want to drink from them, but they are the best. Our t-shirts are also the best. They have the flags of many countries, not just the United States, but, well, here's one with Britain, for example. And we've got hats, truckers' hats, and all kinds of hats with the flags also of various countries too. And we've got sweatshirts, and we've got hoodies, and we've got absolutely great things. And as Alex rightly said, find us on our other platforms, on BitChute, on Rumble, on Odyssey, on Library, and support us also through Patreon and Subscribestar. And remember also to subscribe to this channel too, where we're having many problems. So support us in any way you can. Come to our shop, come to our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you again.
All right, Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.